A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed the Christ to them. With one accord, the crowds paid attention to what was said by Philip when they heard it and saw the signs he was doing. For unclean spirits, crying out in a loud voice, came out of many possessed people, and many paralyzed or crippled people were cured. There was great joy in that city. Now, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who went down and prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for it had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let all the earth cry out to God with joy. Let all the earth cry out to God with joy.
Shout joyfully to God, all the earth. Sing praise to the glory of his name. Proclaim his glorious praise. Say to God, how tremendous are your deeds.
Let all the earth cry out to God with joy.
Let all on earth worship and sing praise to you. Sing praise to your name. Come and seek the words of God, his tremendous deeds among the children of Adam.
Let all the earth cry out to God with joy.
He has changed the sea into dry land. Through the river they passed on foot. Therefore, let us rejoice in him. He rules by his might forever.
Let all the earth cry out to God with joy.
Hear now, all you who fear God, while I declare what he has done for me. Blessed be God who refused me not my prayer or his kindness.
Let all the earth cry out to God with joy.
A reading from the first letter of St. Peter. Beloved, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope. But do it with gentleness and reverence, keeping your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who defame your good conduct in Christ may themselves be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that be the will of God, than for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for our sins once, the righteous for the sake of the unrighteous, that he might lead you to God. Put to death in the flesh, he was brought to life in the spirit. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, Alleluia.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot accept, because it neither sees nor knows him. But you know him, because he remains with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live in you, and you will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me, and whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." The Gospel of the Lord. A question which comes up fairly often when people discuss Christianity is, why did Jesus pick that particular time in history to be the point at which he entered into the world? The musical Jesus Christ Superstar even has one of the characters sing to Jesus, "Why'd you pick such a backward time in such a strange land?" From a modern perspective, the question makes sense, but not from a historic perspective, and especially not if you consider the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In the unfolding of history in Europe, Africa, and Western Asia, that part of the world that we call the Middle East, the time that Jesus came was a period that was the first time in history that so large an area was ruled by one government. The Roman Empire was at the peak of its power, and there was relatively peaceful conditions going on throughout the empire. So it made it very, very easy for the movement of goods, the movement of people, the movement of ideas throughout that whole area. In other words, it was the perfect moment for Christianity to take root and to spread throughout the world with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself told his apostles that they would be his witnesses, as he said, in Jerusalem, then in Judea, then in Samaria, and then in the world. In other words, in the city where he did much of his preaching and where he died, and then in Judea, which was the southern part of the kingdom of Israel, Samaria, the northern and much larger part of the kingdom of Israel, and then ultimately out to the world. He described exactly the process of the expansion of the church as Christianity spread. It was a spread documented by the book in the Bible that we call Acts of the Apostles. And as people of faith, we are called to be part of that spread, part of the process of dissemination of Christianity throughout the world, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces. We are to testify to the truth by the way we live our lives, and we are to stand ready to give spoken witness when needed. In our first reading today from the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we see an early part of this spread of Christianity described when Philip, if you'll remember from last week, Philip was part of the group of the first deacons, the first ordination class, if you will, of deacons. And so he goes out teaching, and he teaches in Samaria, the northern kingdom area, an area of mostly non-Jews, but people related to the Jews, an area, if you'll remember, was where Jesus met the woman at the well. He had that long conversation with her about her five husbands. He convinced her to believe in him, and she brought others to him, and they began to believe. So Jesus had had much success in that area. Philip, likewise, has a great deal of success, described in very dramatic fashion. He baptizes a whole bunch of them. They receive their first sacrament of initiation. In the Catholic Church, we say there are three sacraments of initiation: baptism, confirmation, and Holy Eucharist. But confirmation is reserved only to the bishops, so Philip could not give them confirmation, that ultimate seal of the Holy Spirit. He had to invite Peter and John to come and do that. And so they did. They came to Samaria. It was the beginning of the mission to go out and make disciples of all the world, as Jesus commanded right before his ascension. And that mission is our mission as well. Today's second reading reminds us that we have to stand ready to give witness to anyone who asks us about our faith. Maybe they start out noticing we seem to have something they don't have. Maybe it's a peace in our hearts. Maybe it's a calm in the midst of a storm. Maybe it's the ability to go through some trying time that they don't think they have. And they'll ask us about it. The testimony that we give to them is not meant to be a proselytizing one, not a harangue, not a, you know, an arguing, a screaming, a yelling, anything like that. It should be a gentle, heart-to-heart talk, as with a friend. Pope Francis frequently reminds us that we are not to proselytize, because proselytizing turns people off. I lived in Baton Rouge during a time period when there was a certain very popular televangelist who was at the peak of his ministry. Very frequently, knock came on the door. "Hello, friend. Do you know Jesus?" I'd say, "Well, yes. I go to Mass every Sunday at St. Thomas More Catholic Church." And you could see the change on their face. "Catholic? Don't you know all you Catholics are going to go to hell? Here's a pamphlet that explains why. You have a blessed day." Is that going to really change hearts and minds? Is that going to convert anybody? No. No. That's not what our Lord is asking us to do. Peter, in the first letter of Peter that we read as our second reading, tells us that we are to give our testimony with gentleness and with reverence. In other words, imitating Jesus, who spoke meekly to those who would eventually execute him. Now, in our minds, imitating Jesus to this degree can seem impossible. But in our gospel passage that we read today, we see Jesus' plan to help us with this. The passage that we read from John today is part of a longer section of John's gospel that's known as the farewell discourse. It's Jesus' speech at the Last Supper, Jesus giving his final instructions to the apostles. And by way of this having been written down, instructions to us as well. Our love for him is to be shown by the way we follow his commandments. The commands that he gave were to love one another as he loved us, to love God with all our heart and all our soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And when we live this way, he told us that he was sending us in the same way that he had been sent by the Father, to preach the good news and make disciples of all the world. So here in this passage, Jesus says he will send another advocate. The word in Greek is paraclete. It can mean advocate, it can mean guide, it can mean counselor, it can mean a defense lawyer. And remember, Satan is always characterized as our accuser, who goes out and says, you know, all of our sins. He accuses us of everything, and Jesus goes, uh-uh, remember? Because he was our advocate. So the Holy Spirit that he promised to send to us is also our advocate. And this advocate will work just as Jesus did. He will guide the apostles, protect them from Satan while they're still being formed into the church, protect them as they go out and spread the word, and to teach them and advise them on how to best accomplish this mission that he gave them. This Holy Spirit is none other than the third person of the Trinity, whom Jesus and the Father would send in a very powerful way once Jesus had finished his earthly mission. That mission was the fulfillment of the covenants and the promises made to the great patriarchs of Israel. And because of those covenants, Jesus is frequently seen in the Gospels as saying that his mission is only to the Jews. Think about the Gentile woman who said, "Let me have the scraps that fall from the table." Jesus said the same thing there, that his mission was meant to be to the Jews. In other words, he was coming as a fulfillment of those covenantal promises to the great patriarchs. So then he tells us in this gospel passage, in a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. He's referring to the sending of the Holy Spirit, which can only come after his ascension into heaven. We'll commemorate that promise in 2 weeks on the Feast of Pentecost. Just as the Holy Spirit emboldened the apostles and the first Christians to proclaim the gospel by their words and actions in the face of truly scary opposition, so too does this same Holy Spirit embolden, guide, and teach us to do the same when we choose to follow as Christ commanded. You may have seen in the news recently, Pope Francis beatified the 21 Coptic Christians that were executed by ISIS in that notorious video, leading them down by the beach, cutting their heads off. Do you remember that from a few years ago? He's just added them to the list of martyrs in the Western Church, even though they were members of the Eastern Church. And when he did so, he asked the blessing of the patriarch of that church so that it was a spirit of ecumenism, another sign of the Holy Spirit who helps us to remain one in the Lord. So let us therefore remember to first live lives of Christian love and then ask for the Holy Spirit to guide us in our daily lives. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to guide us in our workplace, in our homes, in how we participate in our governmental process, standing up for the truth when we must give our testimony despite the sometimes scary opposition. Let us remember to ask his guidance that others may look upon us but see Christ in how we live, how we move, and have our being. Today, when our Lord is made present here in the sacrifice of the altar, let's promise him to rededicate our lives to living his commands, following his guidance and the guidance he sends to us through the Holy Spirit. And then just as we are amazed at how those who lived contemporaneously with Jesus in that backward time, so too will those who come after us be amazed at how we were able to endure our own backward time through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Advocate. God love you.